Hello, everyone. Today, I would love to talk to you about a book that I've read and maybe try and convince you as to why you might want to read it too. This is actually a retelling of the 12 Dancing Sisters, and it is the YA fantasy novel, House of Salt and Sorrows. House of Salt and Sorrows is a 12 Dancing Princesses retelling. In this story, we follow our main character, Anna Lee, who lives on an island in a castle with her sisters, father, and stepmother. We begin our story at a funeral of one of the sisters. There were 12, and now there are only 8, and everyone begins to wonder if they're cursed. Now, I'd like to read to you the first chapter. Candlelight reflected off the silver anchor etched onto my sister's necklace. It was an ugly piece of jewelry and something Eulalie would have never picked out for herself. She loved simple strands of gold, extravagant colors of diamonds, not this. Papa must have selected it for her. I fumbled at my own necklace of black pearls, wanting to offer her something more stylish, but the battalion of pallbearers shut the coffin lid before I could undo the clasp. We, the people of the salt, commit this body back to the sea, the High Mariner intoned as the wooden box slipped deep into the waiting crypt. I tried not to notice the smattering of lichens growing inside the gaping mouth, drawn wide to swallow her whole. Tried not to think of my sister, who was alive and warm and breathing just days before being laid to rest. Tried not to imagine the thin bottom of the coffin growing fat with condensation and salt water before splitting asunder and spilling Eulalie's body into the watery depths beneath our family's mausoleum. I tried instead to cry. I knew it would be expected of me, just as I knew the tears were unlikely to come. They would later on, probably this evening when I passed her bedroom and saw the black shrouds covering her wall of mirrors. Eulalie had had so many mirrors. Eulalie. She'd been the prettiest of all my sisters. Her rosy lips were forever turned in a smile. She loved a good joke, her bright green eyes always ready for a quick wink. Scores of suitors vied for her attention, even before she became the eldest Thomas' daughter, the one set to inherit all of Papa's fortune. We are born of the salt, we live by the salt, and to the salt we return, the High Mariner continued. To the salt, the mourners repeated. As Papa stepped forward to place 2 gold pieces at the foot of the crypt, payment to Pontus for easing my sister back into the brine, I dared to sweep my eyes around the mausoleum. It was overflowing with guests, bedecked in their finest black wools and crepes, many of them once would-be beaux of Eulalie. She would have been pleased to see so many heartbroken young men openly lamenting her. Anna Lee, Camille whispered, nudging me. To the salt, I murmured. I pressed a handkerchief to my eyes, feigning tears. Papa's keen disapproval burned in my heart. His own eyes were soggy, and his proud nose was red as the High Mariner stepped forward with the chalice lined with abdomen shells and filled with seawater. He thrust it into the crypt and poured the water onto Eulalie's coffin, ceremonially beginning the decomposition. Once he doused the candles flanking the stony opening, the service was over. Papa turned to the gathered mass, a wide shock of white streaked through his dark hair. Was it there yesterday? Thank you for coming to remember my daughter, Eulalie. His voice, usually so big and bold, accustomed to addressing lords at court, creaked with uncertainty. My family and I invite you to join us now at Highmoor for a celebration of her life. There will be food and drink and, he cleared his throat, sounding more like a stammering clerk than the 19th Duke of the Sanan Islands. I know how much it would have meant to Eulalie to have you there. He nodded once, speech over, his face a blank facade. I longed to reach out to ease his grief. But Morella, my stepmother, was already at his side. Her hand knotted around his. They'd been married just months before and should have still been in the heady, blissful days of their joined life. This was Morella's first trip to the Thomas Mausoleum. Did she feel uneasy under the watchful scrutiny of my mother's memorial statue? The sculptor used Mama's bridal portrait as reference, transmitting youthful radiance into the cool gray marble. Though her body had returned to the sea many years ago, I still visited her shrine nearly every week, telling her about my days and pretending she listened. Mama's statue towered over everything else in the mausoleum, including my sister's shrines. Ava's was bordered in roses, her favorite flower. They grew fat and pink in the summer months, like the plague pustules that claimed her life at only 18. Octavia followed a year later. Her body was discovered at the bottom of a tall library ladder, her limbs tangled in a heap of unnatural angles. An open book adorned her resting place, along with a quote etched in Phi-Pian, which I never learned to read. With so much tragedy compressed into our family, it seemed inevitable when Elizabeth died. She was found floating in the bathtub like a piece of driftwood at sea, waterlogged and bleached of all color. Rumors ran from Highmoor to the villages on neighboring islands, whispered by scullery maids and stable boys, passed to fishmongers to their wives, who spread them as a warning to impish children. Some said it was suicide. Even more believed we were cursed. Elizabeth's statue was a bird. It was meant to be a dove, but its proportions were all wrong, and it looked more like a seagull. A fitting tribute for Elizabeth, who had always so badly wanted to soar away. What would Eulalie be? Once there were 12 of us, the Thomas dozen. Now we stood in a small line, my 7 sisters and I. And I couldn't help but wonder if there was a ring of truth to the grim speculation. Had we somehow angered the gods? Had a darkness braided itself on our family, taking us out one by one? Or was it simply a series of terrible and unlucky coincidences? After the service, the crowd broke up and began milling around us. As they whispered their strained condolences, I noticed the guests were careful not to get too close. Was it in deference to our station? Or were they worried something might rub off? I wanted to chalk it up to lowbrow superstition. But as a distant aunt approached me, a thin smile on her thin lips, the same question flickered in her eyes, just below the surface, impossible to miss. Which one of us would be next? I'll pause there. Throughout the book, Annalie begins to notice things and tries to uncover this curse that's plaguing her family. No one is free from suspicion, so when a new eligible bachelor comes into play, as well as an old family friend and even her own family, she doesn't know who to trust. Can she even trust herself? There are so many twists and turns. I didn't expect what or who would be behind it all. I read this book with my book club, and we had so many theories. And some of our theories turned out to be halfway correct, but nobody fully guessed the ending. If you've enjoyed listening, I definitely recommend reading House of Salt and Sorrows. If there are any books you would like featured, please email me at bookscoop@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening.